turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And let us this morning return to this most amazing passage of Scripture in hopes that we as God's children might, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have hope. For nothing gives more hope and comfort to the true believer than when the Scriptures are opened to our understanding by the Spirit of God. And today, more than ever, we as God's children need the patience and comfort of Scripture. As the world looks to its leaders, its doctors, its scientists for hope and comfort, let us as God's people turn to the pages of God's holy word to find there the answers we need for such hope and comfort. And may the Spirit of God grant us an understanding that we might know the truths of God in sincerity, in reality, that, Lord, that they might touch our hearts and that we might be quickened by their power, that we as God's people would be able to glorify God in the midst of all these troubles and trials which we find the whole world is wrapped in today. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Once again, sinful man has been greatly successful in making this present world's crisis all about him. As people around the world try to make sense of this pandemic, they look to their own plans, their own schemes, their scientists, doctors, and leaders for help, while avoiding the whole time him who maketh such desolations in the earth. Even countless believers today find themselves struggling to find some kind of hope and encouragement in the midst of this chaos and hysteria, while many preachers frantically search the Scriptures in hopes that they might find some Scripture to calm and ease the level of fear and anxiety which exists in many believers. But beloved, as long as we make this pandemic about ourselves and our needs and our wants and our fears, we shall never find the comfort, hope, and encouragement that God alone can sovereignly give us during such trying and troubling times. Look with me, if you will, at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning in verse 5. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heath cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How quickly the heart, which is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, is prone to depart from God when once man places his trust in man and makes flesh his arm, his confidence, and his strength. The believer's faith and confidence and trust in God is never more tried and tested than when God himself is the source or cause of our present troubles and trials. The context of Jeremiah 17 is God sending Judah into captivity for their sins. It was something that confounded many of God's people. Why God could allow such a tragedy. Why God could allow such sorrow. And yet God tells the people of God through Jeremiah, don't trust in man or the arm of flesh, in circumstances and situations which is beyond your comprehension, but trust in the Lord. Let him be your hope. Gideon cried when Israel was facing so many troubles and catastrophes under captivity. He cried, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? It's not the first time in the history of God's people where God's providence had been so dark and mysterious that God's people begin to question why God is doing what he's doing. What's the purpose of all this? Gideon asked the question, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befallen us? Sometimes it's hard for us to understand if God is for us, why such things can happen that appear to be so harmful and destructive and devastating. If God is for us, why are these things happening? Jacob declared when he had all his troubles and Joseph being murdered, he thought, or killed, he said, all these things are against me. Nothing is working for me. Everything that God is doing appears to be against me. And Jacob cried that all these things are against me. Oh, beloved, it's not a strange thing for even the strongest of God's people in times of devastation and sorrow and tragedy to begin to question God and his providence and his dealings and his workings. And yet that doesn't excuse it to be right. Job cried, behold, I go forward, but he, God, is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but cannot behold him, he hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job said, regardless of where I look, when I look to the promises, when I look to his providence, when I look to his past dealings in my life, everywhere I look, I don't see him. God even sometimes appears to be hiding himself, that I cannot see him. And yet, when he finished making that cry, he declared, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he is finished, I shall come forth as gold. To Jacob's cry that all these things are against me, Joseph said, it was God who sent me before you, that I might deliver you. Sometimes, dearly beloved, in the present moment, we don't see the hand of God. We don't understand his providence. We don't know why he's allowing things to happen the way they are. Yet here is where faith must dig deeper into the promises of God to pull out those wells of water, those promises that are deep, hidden within the Word of God, and pray that these promises might be the anchor to our soul, that we might turn to God and make him alone our hope. It's not unusual nor uncommon for God in his divine providence to work in a manner most mysterious and dark to the hearts and minds of men. Isaiah 46:9, the Lord says, I am God, and there is none like me. Meaning that he's incomprehensible. His ways are past finding out. And many times in his workings amongst men, his providence is mysterious and unknown and incomprehensible to man. Yet the believer has been given a faith, a gift of God, to believe God even in the most trying and most darkest of hours. In each event with Gideon, Jacob, and Job, it wasn't the adversary which caused them to be at first so confused and troubled by their present trials, but the hand of God in dealing with them in a manner most mysterious and unsearchable. It was God who caused them to be so confused and troubled. It wasn't the attacks of their adversary, but it was the mysterious providential dealings of God in their own life that they could not comprehend, which drove them many times to cry out, "If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Especially and often in his works amongst men. It was the psalmist in Psalm 66, verse 5, who said, "Come and see the works of God. He is terrible." That means feared or revered. "He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men." Sometimes when God deals with mankind, such as he is today, oh, sometimes it's overwhelming to our understanding. It's incomprehensible. And though we try to find the answers to the problems, to the questions, many times God leaves us in silence. He doesn't answer us. He doesn't give us a quick answer or display of his dealings. It's in these times, dearly beloved, that we as God's people need to learn from Psalm 46 and the lesson the psalmist is teaching us, to be still and know that I am God. One of the hardest things for a child of God to do is in the midst of such trouble and devastation is to be still, to wait, to fix your heart and your mind, to gaze, to be quiet, to be confident, to be still, and know that he is God. We seek an answer. We seek a solution. We seek comfort. Sometimes in desperation, we'll try to find anything in Scripture to kind of soothe our fears and our anxiety. When in these times, God simply says to be still, he offers no answer. He offers in the moment no solution. He just simply demands us to be still and know that he is God. In our text, he says, "Come, behold," verses 8. "Come, behold, fix your attention, fix your mind on the works of the Lord. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he doth make. Or doth hath made in the earth, what desolations, troubles, trials, afflictions, even pandemic diseases, anything and everything, desolations. Behold, behold on the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth." And immediately after that, he commands us, in the moment of these things, be still. Be still. As God works amongst men, as God works these desolations in the earth, the psalmist says to be still. In the beginning of this chapter, the psalmist speaks of an unwavering faith in God as a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And he said, "Therefore shall we not fear." We shall not fear because we have an unwavering faith in God as our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But in the latter end of this chapter, when God's dealing with mankind, when he works his works of desolation in the earth, he calls on his people to be still. As the world runs around in hysteria and full of anxiety and fear, grasping at anything they can to find some kind of hope and comfort, some kind of answer to the problems, it's then we as God's people must be still. Be still. Too many believers today are too restless and too troubled in their attempts to find the perfect answer for this worldwide crisis. We're prone as humans to always want to know the answer. We always want to know how things are going to turn out. We always want to know what's around the corner. We always want to know how this is going to end. And yet many times God gives us no answer for the moment. God gives us no solution. He simply commands us to be still and know that he is God. There's nothing wrong with believers looking for comfort and hope in Scripture. That's where we must look, as I said in the beginning. Yet sometimes God wants us to find the comfort and hope that we need simply in being still and resting and knowing that He is God. Content with having no answer. Content with having no solution. Content with not knowing the outcome. But content in knowing that He is God. That He is God. Many desire merely to be delivered or comforted from the danger and threat of this pandemic. They take neither the time or the patience to be still. And to know, that means to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly that He is God. Beloved, the world has never faced in a long time, or at least in a long time, has not faced such a worldwide pandemic, a worldwide hysteria. And Psalm 46 offers us, as God's people, the solution to the hysteria and chaos that is around us. We cannot deny, but this is God's working of desolation. For unlike the lost, we as believers, we don't believe in fate or chance. We believe in a sovereign God whose providence reigns in all the world and universe. And that whatever happens in this world, God has either decreed, ordained, permitted, or allowed in His divine and sovereign purpose and will. God's not answerable to us. God does not require that we have an answer from Him. And though God many times does give us an answer and solution, God is not required to always give us an answer, but He will give us the comfort and the hope as we be still and wait in Him. Sometimes it's hard to see the hands of God's providence at work. Sometimes it's hard to see and understand why. It's at those moments, dearly beloved, instead of frantically running through Scripture, trying to find anything and everything for our needs and for our comfort, it's at those times we simply, as the psalmist says, we need to, as God's children, simply be still and know that He is God. To be still implies to be silent and submissive. While observing and considering, listen to me, this is what it means biblically to be still. God help us to implement this in this present day. It implies to be silent and submissive while observing and considering. We're not doing nothing. We're not being complacent when we're being still. We're silently submitting ourselves to God's providence while observing and considering the things of God, the attributes of God, the person of Christ, His works, and all that He is. It's being still, yet being observant and considering who God is. It is to not complain or speak against His providences, but to be still in our actions and behaviors under His often dark providences, so as not to oppose or question God. Let me say that again. It is to not complain or speak against His providences, but to be still in our actions and behaviors under His often dark providences, so as not to oppose or question God. Isaiah 30:15 says, in quietness, that means be still, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness, be still, and in confidence, not in myself, but in God and who He is. Beloved, it's times like these that God would have us contemplate and consider and meditate the truths of God and what we know about our God. Be still that we might know that He is God. It is to keep a calm and quiet submission to whatever His divine providence may bring. Be it darkness or light, joy or sorrow, trials or comfort. For beloved, it's when we are truly still that we come to a greater sense of His being God. Be still and know that I am God. This does not imply an absence of the knowledge of God. The psalmist isn't implying that we have no knowledge of God at all. The psalmist already spoke in the beginning of this chapter of an unwavering faith in God as a refuge and strength and a very help in present help in trouble, and that God is in our midst and that we shall not be moved and God shall help it. So the psalmist has knowledge of God, yet here in the midst of all these devastations that God brings upon the earth, in the midst of all this, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Under such dark providence and working of the Lord, it is when we are still before God that we come to a greater awareness and realization of His infinite and sovereign power, mercy, and grace. The psalm is not saying he doesn't know God. He's simply saying in such times as these, it's when we're still in our hearts and our minds, when we're submissive and observing and considering, when we're quiet and not questioning God. It's in such times as these, when we exercise that divine virtue of being still, God reveals more of Himself to us. And we begin to understand in a greater realization His infinite power, sovereign mercy and grace, and even rest confident in His dark providences. When the Israelites were standing at the Red Sea, when the Israelites had the Egyptians behind them, the storming Red Sea in front and the mountains on the side of them, in the midst of all of that turmoil, in the midst of all of that confusion and devastation and apparent destruction, God spoke to Israel through Moses and said, fear ye not. Sounds like the beginning of Psalm 46. We shall not fear. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See it. Job said, in essence, he said, I thought I knew thee before by the hearing of the ear, but now I see thee. This is what being still reveals to the believer. Beloved, what a glorious time we have now for God's people to enter into their chambers. And I don't mean just simply the isolation of which the world is talking about, but spiritually enter into the chambers of our own hearts and minds. Be still in this time of turmoil and devastation. Be still. Consider, observe, be quiet, and know that He is God. Anchor your soul in the promises of God. These are times when we can become more aware of His person, of His work, as we read the Word of God and pray, as we spend time with God in quietness. We learn more of God. Our faith and confidence in God grows. We need to learn at this time the virtue of being still, that we might know that He is God. I want you to see the rest of this verse, chapter 46, verse 10 and 11. Watch what he says. Be still and know that I am God. Watch this. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, dearly beloved, what a wonderful blessing that is to us. That no matter what happens, though the heathen are raging, though the kingdoms are moved, God will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth, and that by His own means. What we're seeing today is the signs of the coming of a Christ. And I like what I heard from Peter Masters in one of his sermons concerning this pandemic, that this is not the last days or the last judgment, but it is God arousing the world, causing turmoil and destruction, that the world might wake up and realize there is a God. Oh, how I pray that those who appear to be converting to Christ, I pray that it's genuine and real. Some 30 years ago, we began the war with Iraq. I was a young pastor in a military church in Germany. All the men were called to Iraq, and our church consisted mostly of women. And as the men wrote letters back home, they spoke of great revival, great conversion. Church services were full of soldiers gathering together and praying, much like many are doing today. And people were enthusiastic and excited about it, and so we should be. Yet when the dust settled and the war subsided and the threat was gone, the pews were empty. The churches were empty. The countless professions vain. Oh, beloved, I pray that we would encourage the world to turn to Christ, not for temporary redemption from the threat and danger of this pandemic, but of a greater danger of their losing their souls. I pray that those that are awakened by this pandemic, I pray that they would see and understand their need of Christ, and that they too would be still and know that He's God, the Savior of the world. I pray that all these people that are turning to prayer and all these people that are crying out to God, how I pray that this would be a genuine, sincere turning to God and not simply a seeking, like the man on the cross, a temporary deliverance from their pain and suffering and fears. Oh, dear child of God, I know these are troubling times. And I know that we also, in many ways, are fearful for our family, our children, our loved ones. Yet let us take this time to be still, that we might know God. And that as we get that assurance, and as God grants us that assurance and blessing, may we as God's people take it out to a lost and dying world who has no hope. Every day people are hanging on the reports from Washington, the CDC, the health workers, in hopes that they might come up with a solution, a remedy for this problem. And it is our prayer that that is exactly what happens. Yet if God chooses to have this disease linger, and Lord knows we've lost many people to this terrible disease, if the Lord chooses to have this pandemic linger, let us reach out to those who have no hope, who are looking to man and finding no confidence and no hope. Let us reach out to them with the glorious gospel of Christ. And let's exhort them to be still, that they might know God. And in closing, dearly beloved, if you are a believer, it's not a sin to be afraid. David himself said, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee." But in the midst of that fear, David also expressed faith in God. "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." Trust in God. Trust in his promises. And though his providence might at this moment appear dark and incomprehensible, know that he is God, that he is the sovereign ruler, that he is the keeper of all things, that he is the savior of our souls, and that no matter what happens, he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And that though now we might not have an answer or solution to what's going on in the present time, we know a God who knows everything. Ecclesiastes 3:14 is something that we should consider in this time of being still. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says this: I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Beloved, as believers, we do not always need to know the answers, nor do we always have to know the why. But we do need to know that he is God. Let that then suffice our needs, our wants, our fears, and fill our hearts with peace, confidence, and assurance. Dearly beloved, again, I beseech you, be still and know that he is God. He will be exalted amongst the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. The God of Jacob is with us. What a blessing. The God of Jacob, or the Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. May the Lord bless. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I feel I have not done anything worthy of your name. But I pray that your word that we read would reach out across the internet, across this world, comfort your people in this time. Lord, help us as thy people to be still and know that you're God. You will be exalted. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling, who don't know thee, who maybe have pretended over the past to know thee, but know nothing of thee. We pray that, Lord, you would use this time of fear and devastation to awaken their conscience to their need of God. Lord, may you help them to realize there's no peace without thee. Lord, we don't know what route this virus is going to take. We don't know how many more lives will be taken. We know not who or when people can get this disease or this virus. Lord, we're trusting in thee that no matter what happens, help us to be quiet, to be still, to observe, never to complain or question your providence, but trust in you. Dear God, grant us this faith, we pray. Lord, help, we pray. We do pray that, Lord, you remove this virus. We do pray that, Lord, if it be your will, that, God, you would help us in these trying times. Give doctors wisdom. Help the healthcare workers who are daily offering their sacrificing themselves and their family by trying to take care of people who've been infected with this. We pray that you'd give them strength. We pray that you'd comfort them. We pray that you'd protect them. We thank you for their courage. We thank you, Lord, for their consistency. We pray that, Lord, you'd be honored and glorified in all we say and do. Lord, we ask that you bless now as only you can. And again, help us to be still that we might know that you're God. Amen.